one more time. Say one more time, oh, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time, one more time. Oh, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time. Come on, y'all. Say one more time. Oh, one more. He allowed us to sing together. One more time. One more time. Oh, one more time. He allowed us to sing together. One more time. Help me sing. One more time. Oh, one more. He allowed us to pray together. Us to pray together. One more time. Oh, say one more time. One more time. He allowed us to pray together. One more. Come on, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time. Yes, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time. Say one more time. Oh, one more time. He allowed us to come together. One more time. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. We had a tremendous time Friday night. Brother Ernest, he's a preacher. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 29. Praise the Lord. David says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them to also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give his strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Almighty God, we have come before you this morning because of your voice. It was your voice that called us out of the midst of Laodicea, Lord. It was your voice that woke us up this morning and led us to this place. We've come this morning that we might hear your voice, Lord, that we might draw nigh unto thee, O God. And we just ask that you come in a special way, Lord God, and may the supernatural God be manifested in the midst of his children. Anoint our brother this morning, Lord, to bring forth your word to your people, Lord. Anoint our hearts, Lord, to have receptive hearing hearts, Lord, to receive your truth as it comes to us, O Lord. You know our needs, Lord God. You know our faults and failures, Lord. You've blotted out our sins, Lord. Now we ask that you strengthen us now. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, and ask that you would have your way now. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Well, I in my place, as long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Oh, well, it ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Say praise the Lord, praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise, praise the Lord. Oh, say yeah. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Well, ain't tree gonna clap in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Well, ain't no tree gonna clap in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Hallelujah. Praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll say praise the Lord. Say praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. No bird, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise the Lord. Praise him. As long as I'm alive to glorify, say praise the Lord. Oh, praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Well, ain't no rock gonna praise in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Well, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, say praise the Lord. Praise his name, oh. As long as I'm alive to glorify, say praise the Lord. Oh, praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glory. One more time, ain't no bird. Well, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify. No bird, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Praise the Lord. Say praise his name. As long as I'm alive, say praise the Lord. Oh, praise him. As long as I'm alive, say praise the Lord. Oh, oh yeah. As long as I'm alive to glorify, say praise the Lord. Oh, praise his name. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. Amen. Let's praise him a little bit. At the sound. of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. All the find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. Say, Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Your great name, your great name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you believe in praising the Lord God Almighty? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on, say, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, every praise, say, is to our God. Come on. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise, say, is to our God. Come on, God, my Savior. Say, God, God, my healer. He's my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Say, God, my Savior. God, my healer. He's my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise, every word of worship, every praise, say, is sing hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise, come on. God, my Savior, God, my healer, He's my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Say, God, my Savior. God, my healer. He's my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Say every praise. Every word of worship. Every praise. Every praise, say, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Every praise, say, come on one more time, God my Savior, say, God my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Say, God, my Savior. God, my healer. He's my deliverer. Yes, He is. 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 Every praise. Every word of worship. Every praise. Say it to our God. See. Sing hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Come on, worship the Lord with all of your might. He's worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. That's an old song saying, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You can't tell it like I can. Amen. If only you knew. You have your own experience. You have your own testimony of why you should be praising God. Hallelujah. My. I get a little happy sometimes. Praise the Lord. You can have your seats if you can. Amen. We have a few specials this morning. Amen. Sister Shonda, will you come? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
When the mountain is deep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. Press on. Dear Lord, with a prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. When the valley is deep, when the mountains are steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with a prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with a prize clear before our strength to press on. press on.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. How many is pressing on in Jesus' name? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Shonda. Sister Michelle, will you come at this time? Praise the Lord.
Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your good time you will answer my plea. Teach me not on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not. So teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me humble my pride and to call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Lord, let me keep my eyes on thee. Help me be on this earth what you want me to be. See that way upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. So teach was a time and a season for all things you promised in your word to answer all my pleas. I'm crying to you, Lord, grant sweet relief. Oh, Lord, remove all unbelief. See that way upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle, and they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So teach me, Lord, to wait.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Amen. Whatever he has is good for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't have any written requests. Last night when we were leaving the reception, we were on 95, and as we were passing by an accident, we looked back and saw a little girl holding a bouquet. And I guess Brother Dave, the song leader at Brother Gene's church, looked like the back of his car was wrecked up pretty bad, and also the front, and it was up against that wall. So we want to pray for Brother Dave and his family. Amen, and continue to pray for one another. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Father, we see once again the hand of the enemy, Lord, trying to take out one of your children prematurely, Lord. But we also saw the mighty hand of God, Lord, spare their lives. We're so grateful for the hedge, Lord, that you have placed about them, Lord. Looking at the accident, surely there were injuries, Lord God, but we pray, oh God, that you, knowing that you are the healer, Lord, we ask that you minister to their needs, Lord. Remove all fear from them, Lord, and may they only believe and trust and wait on you, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, for your ministering servants all across this world, Lord, that you will continue to be with them. Keep a hedge about your servants, Lord God, that they may continue to hear from you, to bring, Lord, the good news to your people. Lord, also keep that hedge about your children, Lord God, that we may continue on pressing on, Lord, to the time of the resurrection and rapture, Lord. We're waiting on you, Lord. Lord, it's not really us waiting on you. You're waiting on us. It's also written that your bride has made herself ready. So, Lord, we must put all things aside and concentrate on you, Lord, and be clothed in the word, Lord. Father, as you bring forth your word this morning, may we place on the garments, Lord, and believe you always. Lord, we humbly commit all these things to you in the precious and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have Sisters Prayer Tuesday at 7:30, and there will be service Friday night at 7:30. And we have the youth service Saturday, October 20th at 7 p.m. We want to remember those. We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering.
Jesus, we just come before you and thank you, God, for another opportunity that you allowed us to come back in your house once again, Lord God, to worship you and praise you this morning, God. We thank you, God, for all things, God, protecting us, watching over us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for just watching over the brother that got in that accident, Lord God. Just pray, God, to cover him and be with him, Lord God, and just be with us, Lord, throughout the service, God, and bless us all, bless those who have and desire to give, Lord God. Pray, God, you bless the ministry that I bring forth your word this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, for all things. It's in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands, I bow my knees as I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. Come on, help me sing it. I need you, Lord. Say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you. I need you right now. I lift my hands, I bow my knees as I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. I'll try and sing this a little special before our pastor comes. Praise the Lord. I thought about this song Friday night as Brother Ernest was preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I'd like to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands a champion all robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens. Weighed outweighs the world. His reach reaches everywhere. His age is than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He left his hometown to enter this arena, to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But you see, there was an angry crowd that cried, crucify he who wore the crown. And they watched my champion going down. But I will never count him out, 'cause I'm a witness of that day. He rose to proclaim champion of love. He's high. Come on, help me sing it. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time. Disputed the all time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Is he your champion? I said, is he your champion? Amen.
Higher than the highest, greater than the great, and no one will ever take his crown away. Oh, he is mightier than the mightiest, and he reigns. Yes, he does. And he's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Come on, sing it one more time. Say, he is higher than, and he greater than, oh, and no one could ever take its crown away. Hey, and he's more mighty. Yes, he reigns from above. Hey, and he's the all-time. He's the all-time. Said he's the all-time. Yes, he is the all-time. One more time. He's the all-time. Undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise.
Brother Solomon was singing that song, and I just want to read this scripture real quick for you. This is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He is the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. It starts here at verse 13. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen. And if it's his battle, then I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the victory. Because he's the all-time, undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Come on, give him a hand of praise. This song just came to my heart, and I was supposed to rehearse this. I should have got it together with my daughter before right now. But last night, brother Jeffrey sent me a little text and said, "You singing a special tomorrow?" I said, "No, I didn't plan on one." And he had one that he recommended, you know, for me to sing. But I'll save that for later. This kind of, when he sent the text, I felt just a little conviction that I should just sing it. Amen. Just a little bit. I never sung it before, but it's the words just move my spirit. It's an old time song. Amen. Hopefully y'all will sing it with me.
Oh, listen.
It says some folk would rather have houses and land. Oh, some folk choose silver and gold. Hey, but these things they treasure and forget about their souls. Oh, but I decided to make Jesus my choice. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, you see, hey, the road is rough and the going gets tough and the hills are hard to climb. But I started out, hey, a long time ago. Hey, and there is no doubt in my mind, for I decided, oh, to make Jesus my choice. Come on, I'm gonna sing it again. Yeah, you see, now some folk would rather have houses and land. Hey, and some folk choose silver and gold. Oh, but these things that they treasure and forget about their soul. Hey, but I decided, oh, to make Jesus my choice. Is it your choice this morning? Hey, you know. Hey, the road is rough and the going gets tough. Oh, and the hills are hard to climb. Oh, but I started out, hey, a long time ago. And there is no doubt in my mind, for I decided, oh, to make Jesus my choice. Come on, sing it again. The road is rough. The road is rough
and the going gets tough. Oh, and the hills are hard to climb. Oh, but I started out a long time ago, and there is no doubt in my mind, for I decided to make Jesus my choice. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I decided, hey, gonna make Jesus my choice. Oh, I chose Jesus over everything. I decided to make Jesus my choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tell somebody, I made Jesus my choice. I made Jesus my choice. Oh, my God, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I made Jesus my choice. Oh, my. Come on, give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements before we have Brother Tom come. And there's going to be a card just outside, amen, that we're asking everyone just to just sign. This is for Brother Bernard, pastor there in Miami, amen, at Eagles Temple. He lost his mother. They had the homegoing service on yesterday, but we just want to send him a card just to let him know that we were thinking of them and praying for them. So if you would, just when you leave out today, just take time to sign the card, amen, so we can send it down from our church, amen, to him just as an encouragement. I found out his mother had, she died at 97, had 12 kids, and seven of them she outlived, you know, and got five left, and, you know, it's just good to see they had a really good turnout, a lot of people come to support the service on yesterday, and just want to continue to keep them in prayer. It's not easy, amen, when you lose a loved one like that, so just please keep them in prayer. We are certainly grateful this weekend to have Brother Tom and Sister Sandy Ernest, amen, from Wichita, Kansas. Amen. A long way from home, but on Friday night we heard the message on overcomers, and we were just absolutely blessed, amen, by that. And he taught us a song on Friday. Amen. Maybe we can go back to that song and let him, we'll have him come on that. But Brother Tom is just really precious. But I met him a couple years ago out in Arkansas. And, you know, so we were able to connect one time, and he came and preached for us. And then we just couldn't get, you know, things connected again. But this time it worked out. And I'm grateful that the Lord just allowed it to work out. So I know this morning, amen, that you'll be blessed by the word of the Lord. And I just want to thank God. I see Brother Elias and amen, Sister Jessica. God bless you all. So good to have y'all, amen, with us on today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And man, last week, I know I was asking something about what time we all got here. Boy, y'all got here a little early today. Some of y'all got here later, and some of y'all got here earlier. But I sure appreciate it, man. You all just responding and just coming to help create an atmosphere in this place. Thank you for all the specials that went forth, and amen. We just appreciate the Lord. This song, brother Tom taught us, is titled "Cover Me," amen. Cover me, and I felt there was a real sweet anointing, amen, on that song. So we're gonna sing that, amen, as we just welcome him to the platform on today. Amen. Could we just get those? Yeah, that's it. Amen. Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. cover me. Come on, say that again. Peace of God, cover me. Oh, peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Next. Peace of God, cover me through the storm, through the storm. Cover me, oh, cover me. Say, only in you I am safe. Only in you I am secure, and only in you I'm secure. Oh, only in you I find peace. So cover me. Cover me. Cover me when I am hurting. And cover me when I'm not strong. Come on. And cover me when I am going through the storm. And cover me when all seems hopeless. And cover me when my faith is gone. Hey, let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me, cover me, cover me when I'm, oh, cover me when I am hurting, Brother Tom. Oh, and cover me when I'm not strong, hey, cover me when
What a beautiful morning we have. What a beautiful day. Oh, my goodness. You folks know how to have church here. That's all it is to it. I enjoyed. We're trying this, for my sake, they're trying this new headset out. It's an old headset, but new because he went and dusted it off out of the back. We're getting some feedback. They're going to work on that. But it's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. I heard there was three specials, so I just had to make my way out so I could enjoy those with y'all. I think everybody in this church sings good. I ain't heard an off note yet. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time of worship. Our brother there, what a fine job you did leading songs. What a fine job. Yes, my brother. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. I have been touched deeply by the hospitality and the love of your pastor and his wife, and they, like I said, it's just I'm overwhelmed by the joy of being here with you and the appreciation. I've been in a lot of churches in my life, but it's kind of like I said about quotes and scriptures the other night, the one you're in right now is the one you enjoy the most. The one you're having right now. So God bless you for that. I know we've sung a lot already, but let's read our scripture if we can. We won't. That'll be all for today. Beautiful seeing those young people participating in the music up here. All I can say is the drummer, he lost a lot of weight since Friday night. I didn't know if y'all noticed the difference, but I'm just saying. I was here Friday and the spot was, now this little fella, he's doing a great job over there. I appreciate that. God bless you, our brother. Beautiful music. I mean, the talents you got here, and you know, it don't take a church of thousands for the talent to come out. God gives to his body what is needed for the participation. And we're going to just quickly go back to one verse that we used on Wednesday as our foundation. We never really got to it very far. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. We spoke on Friday, those who weren't here, about overcomers, the prophet telling us there will be some overcomers in every age. Yes. He preached a message, how can I overcome? Yes. And the scripture here in Revelation 12 verse 11 gives us the formula for overcoming. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and how many of you know what and means? There's an addition to that. There's two elements here that precipitate overcoming. The blood of the Lamb and everybody together, and the word of your testimony. The blood of the Lamb is an established fact. Let me just say that about these two elements. The blood of the Lamb is an established fact. There is nothing Satan can do to defeat, deny, debase, take away from the efficacy of that blood. Amen. That is an established fact from before the foundation of the world. Amen. He was slain 2,000 years ago. No, he wasn't. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. And at that time, the prophet tells us, he placed your name in that Lamb's Book of Life at the same time that he was slain before the foundation of the world. That blood of the Lamb is an established fact. So Satan, knowing that, he can try to give you doubts about it, try to work on you personally to alleviate the power and the efficacy of that blood, but it is an established fact. The one area that is open for debate is the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Father, we ask you today to just continue in the atmosphere of this church, the atmosphere of this service, how beautiful it's been, how our souls have rejoiced, singing those beautiful songs and the seeing the saints entering in. And I know you are pleased with that. And we ask you today, Lord, to just take the thoughts that are in our heart. We never got as far on Friday as we would have liked, but help us to just compress it and compact it and keep it. Keep it, Lord. Keep the people fresh. And if they're tired, give them strength for the journey. If they're weary, just revive their spirits. Let us enjoy the word together, we pray this morning in your name. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you all. Again, thanking our dear host pastor and his wife for they've really taken care of us so fine while we were here. So finely. We appreciate that. Sadly, I don't know any of y'all well enough. We were asking them about different members, and we haven't come often enough to know very many of you by name, but just the warmth of fellowship that you've offered us, and we've appreciated that. Again, the music is tremendous. Our sisters here, they traded out a lot, so when, you know, obviously they're multi-talented when you can do that. You know, I can sing in every key. I just can't sing good in none of them, you know. I found out years ago, I've been a song leader since I was 16 years old in most churches I've ever been in. I started when I was 16, leading singing there in Tennessee, And I found out years later, because I never knew what key I was best in, but I found out the key that I sing in is O. Because I started like I did Friday with a new song one day in the church, and the pianist looked at the organist, and the organist looked at the pianist, and they both said, oh. So I knew from that point on that that was my key, the key of O. So that's how bad it is. I know nothing about music. How could you be a song leader for all these years and know nothing about music? I don't know one key from another. I look at the screen sometimes and it'll have a big A and a little A, or a big B and a little B. And so I just tell them the big B and little B. That's what I want, you know. But the Lord has been good. We've had a wonderful journey. I have no regrets. I can look back on a life. I'll be turning 60 years old in December. I know that shocks all of you because you're all looking up here saying, how can a fellow look that young be coming up 60? But 40 years now coming up into the ministry, on entering my 40th year. So the Lord has been good. I've got friends around the world, and I just appreciate having a little spot of friends here in West Palm Beach. It's been a wonderful, wonderful journey, and I thank you for that. I certainly want to attack this area of the word. I want to do justice to everybody hearing good. Is the mic good? Everybody's good? All right. Very wonderful. I want to stress this area of overcoming by the word of their testimony. As we said a minute ago, the blood of the Lamb is an established fact. It's a done deal. There's nothing Satan can do to alter that blood. It was the only, as we said the other night, it's the only pure stature. It's the only sinless man that ever was on this earth. Right. We've had great men. We've had men of renown. We've had prophets of old. We've had men in our generation. Right. But every one of them was born the same way you and I were.
All right.
But there was one that came through a different channel, not by the will of the flesh, not right. by the will of man,
right.
but by the word of God he right. was formed and given to this earth
yes.
with the only precious blood that there was.
Praise God.
There's been great men have given their blood, but there was only one pure, sinless blood
That's right.
from which this new creation is formed in
amen.
Our day.
That's right.
Amen and amen. As we said, you know, we talk about in our day, the size of crowds sometimes bewilders us. We think, why aren't there more of us? But the prophet tells us for those who go into the promised land was one in a million.
Right.
But the calculated scientists of our day have estimated that born in this earth, in the time that this earth has been in existence, that there has been 108 billion people born on this earth. That's a big number. 108 billion people born on this earth. They don't have no way to document that. They look back, you know, there was times in humankind history where great masses of people almost went into extinction, the plagues of Europe and all the numbers of people that were lost. But yet out of that 108 billion, there was one.
All right.
One. And he presented to us the stature of a perfect man. We all want to rise to that place. We want him to draw us into that place of sinless perfection. Are we ever going to get there? Not in this flesh, we're not. We can strive, we can do our best, but the prophet tells us that as long as we are here, we're going to have something with us. It's called a human nature. And it's sticky. Oh my. I know some people preaching that we're already in the millennium and that human sticky nature doesn't bother them anymore. Well, you hang around them long enough. I'm sure we can draw it out of them if you give us enough time. But today we want to talk about the overcoming by the word of their testimony. And we're going to choose for our subject this morning explicitly the prophet Job.
All right.
Because Job himself was certainly our benchmark. He, you know, I used to survey a little bit with a brother there in our church. I was the rodman on a survey company. And when we would go into neighborhoods setting up new houses or digging basements for new houses, in that neighborhood, there was a predetermined and established benchmark. We would cut an X in a concrete drain or something that was immovable, that was considered to be permanent, and we would establish a benchmark from which all the rest of the neighborhood was to be measured off by. I would go and hold that rod on the point, and the surveyor would sight it in, and he would get the elevation, and then we would go around and we would measure all other elevations off of that benchmark.
All right.
Well, Job was certainly the benchmark. The benchmark of all that could possibly go wrong in life.
Yes. Amen.
You think you had it rough.
All right.
I know sometimes we get down in the mouth and we get discouraged and the devil's beating up on us and we think, oh my, this is going wrong and that's going wrong. You ain't had nothing go wrong yet. Our lives have been wonderful.
Yes.
Even in our lowest estate,
right.
Our lives have truly been wonderful.
Yes,
compared.
Amen.
To this man, Job.
That's right.
And we could spend lots of time on the woes and the tragedies, but let's go back quickly to the book of Job if we can. And in Job chapter 1, we'll begin the narrative. I developed this little series. You know, evangelists would like to be able to do series. They would. But as an evangelist, can I just share something with you? I ain't never in one place long enough to hardly do a series. But years ago, I ran across this quote in 1964 that Brother Branham said. And it always laid on my heart. I thought if I could do what the prophet says here, then there would certainly be a blessing to follow that. But listen what he says. This is Questions and Answers, 1964. What a wonderful thing it would be to go back through all those Old Testament characters, through Job and through there, and run series of meetings on them. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
All right.
Well, I thought, well, if it's that wonderful, I just want to do that. I want to run a series on Job. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we went back through there through Job and through there and run some series?
Amen.
And I thought, well, I want to do a series. But the trouble is I'm in West Palm, and then I'm in Memphis, and then I'm... So it's hard to carry my series from here to there, but I was privileged this year. I began a couple of messages on the book of Job, trying to figure I would maybe eke out two or three. And right as I began, our pastor at home came down with the shingles, the worst case of shingles I've ever seen in my life. It was kind of ironic or amazing that I was working on the book of Job, who seemed to have a similar bout of troubles,
all right.
You know. Our pastor, he was laid up for almost 4 months, 3 months. Couldn't sleep, couldn't rest. I kept going back to the book of Job and offering some comfort. I said, Job found himself broke out in boils as well. Mm-hmm. His remedy was a broken piece of pottery to scrape himself.
Come on.
I kept trying to send this piece of pottery over to our pastor. And he said, I have consulted all the modern medical journals and I cannot find pottery being the right answer.
All right.
So, but during that course of his ailment, and because he was so out of sorts and out of pocket, I ended up having a 12-part series on the book of Job. Longest of my life. Probably will never be able to equal that. But I got to thinking, you know, Brother Branham liked to do series. Here's a quote from Power of Decision way back in 1955. And I want you to, and this is just to set a background for how important this character Job is. He said, I remember here a few years ago, I was a year and 6 months in my church teaching the book of Exodus. A year and a half on the book of Exodus. And I was 2 years one time on Job.
All right.
2 years.
Yeah.
Job is 42 chapters long. And here's a prophet telling us back in the day, I spent a year and a half on Exodus and 2 years on Job. Now, I'm just kind of an analytical kind of guy. I'm thinking, I look at the book of Exodus, there was a whole lot of stuff going on in the book of Exodus.
That's right.
You had battles, you had Pharaoh, you had Egyptians, you had armies, you had fights, you had Kor, Dathan, and Abiram. You had all these things that he could have expounded on for a year and a half. But you move over to the book of Job, and you've got conversation.
Yeah, 2 years.
The book of Job is strictly based on conversation.
My God. My Lord.
There's only about 6 character players in the book of Job.
Yeah,
2 years. Oh my, think of that. I spent 2 years on this book.
Oh
And I thought, Lord, help me to find some nuggets. If he can find 2 years worth, certainly.
Glory.
And I never got to the end of my series before our pastor was well. And honestly, I enjoyed it so much, I wasn't minding that he was suffering. You know, it was just, I relayed that to him. I said, just take your time, brother, take your time. I did enjoy it. But 2 years. And all the book of Job is conversation. Once you get past these initial discussions between God and Satan,
yeah, right.
It becomes Job and his three friends. I heard somebody say friends. Were they real friends?
Come on.
Brother Branham called them. The bishops came down from headquarters and talked to him.
Ah.
It was conversation. We call them Job's friends, but we find out they really weren't his friends.
Right.
But it's all conversation.
Yes, sir.
But we have to go back to the foundational battle. The foundation. And let's go to chapter 1 and verse 6. And you'll find the foundational challenge that is put forth concerning this man, Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a day. There was a day. When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. You know, I took a lot of time on this at home, and we won't have time, but think on that. The meeting was called for the sons of God.
Come on.
You'll find quickly, look at the very introduction to the second challenge that goes forth, chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, there was a day. You find a reading, a very similar rendering of the scripture of the same event, second time around. There was a day, and again, there was a day. When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I took a message at home called the uninvited guest. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, the prophet. This is a direct quote. I ain't got it here in my notes. It's in my briefcase over there. But he did tell us that Satan goes to church too.
Yes.
Don't get it in your mind that Satan don't go to church. He goes, but this meeting was not for him.
All right.
There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them.
All right.
Reading on in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? You know, the Lord sometimes will ask questions that he already knows the answer to. You know, maybe he's checking out the validity of the person giving the answer, and Satan gives him the proper answer. Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Well, God knew that. He had already battled. Michael and Lucifer had already fought in heaven. He was cast out of the heavens into the earth, and he began to walk to and fro in the earth.
Right.
So when Satan presents himself before the Lord, he simply requires of him an answer. Where you been? Where you been, Satan? Well, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. God could have simply replied, I knew that. I put you there.
Come on.
That's where I sent you.
Yeah. Good.
When we battled in heaven, you became a vessel of this earth.
My.
I not only put you there, but I made you the prince of the power of the air.
Come on.
On that earth.
My.
This is still Satan's Eden. I want you to know that.
Sir.
This
That's
is.
Right.
And so the Lord said unto Satan, and here's where we got to be careful about the reading now, because when Job falls into all these calamities, sometimes it's easy to think that of this happened or that's happened. But look quickly, verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou... He kept talking about a hedge this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful thought there. Hasn't you made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But if you'll put forth your hand now, touch all that he hath, here's the challenge. He will curse you to your face. See, Satan was looking at all the possessions of Job. The blessings that God had given to Job. The abundance that Job had. In fact, if you drop back over to verse 3 of that chapter 1, verse 2, there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household. So that this man, here it is, a testimony of Job's greatness. This man was the greatest of all the men of the East.
Wow.
Well, see, Satan bought into that philosophy that it was Job's possessions.
Right.
It was all the blessings that God had given him that made him great.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. Job's greatness was not in what he had.
Yes.
You know, the men of the East looked to Job and said, he's the greatest man we got among us. But yet we come down to the days of Jesus, and he's standing there on the banks of Jordan, and here comes John.
Yeah.
John the Baptist trudging up out of the wilderness,
right,
wearing one set of garments. Brother Branham said he probably never took a bath every 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And all the people are looking at Job and saying, you are great because you have all of this.
Talk about it.
And here was John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Jesus himself points to him and says, there's never been a greater man than this man, John the Baptist. This is the greatest man. You know how many oxen and sheep and cattle he had? None. The greatness of John the Baptist was that he had a relationship to the Messiah. That he had a job to do to introduce that Messiah in his day. Yeah, I took a whole lesson on greatness. Everybody thinks the man with the bucks is great. He's great.
And,
you know, they think Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has made $1 billion in his lifetime with all of his endorsements. But let me tell you something. He can shank a shot in the water just like me and Brother Jack can. I have seen him do it.
All right.
He ain't great. He's skilled.
Yes.
Hopefully Brother Jack shanks more than I do, but it didn't prove out to be that way the other day. That's not great.
Come on.
Here was the men viewing Job as the greatest in the East.
Wow.
And then Jesus comes along and says, there ain't never been one.
Greater than Job.
Ain't never been one greater than him. He had nothing.
My.
Man, he was out there eating locusts.
Yes.
Brother Jack took me to some fine restaurants. I've been surveying every one of them. I ain't found no locusts on there yet. Locusts and wild. Can you imagine that being your diet? Some kind of crunchy. You got to like crunchy for that. Now, some of these newfangled tater chips they're putting out there now, they try to make them like that.
Right.
You know, they've crunched up everything. But there was nothing great in the value or the possessions or the sheep or the cattle or the oxen. But yet Satan had bought into that theory.
My.
If you ever get it in your mind that that's what makes a person great, or Brother Bradham said, you know, they'll have the bankers come in and they'll get a special seat in the church because of the amount that they can do.
Wow.
And Jesus himself tried to debunk that theory with the theory in his day when that little woman brought that little mite into the offering, placed it in there and said, none of you gave as much as her.
Right.
Be faithful in what God has given you.
Amen.
Don't be jealous of somebody that can make a little bit of money or has a little bit more than you.
Right.
It's not about how much you have. The prophet said it's not wrong to make money, but just keep God in it when you do.
Hey.
It's not wrong.
Right.
I know the old Pentecostal way was keep them poor and keep them humble. I growed up with that mentality in my day. Keep them poor and keep them humble.
Right.
Poor and humble has nothing to do with each other.
Right.
It has nothing to do with each other.
Brother.
You can be very proud and be very poor.
That's right.
And you can be very humble and have a little bit in the bank.
Come on now.
I tell people wherever I go, If losing your money is gonna send you spiraling downward, you may as well get rid of it now. Because guess what? One of these days, folks, we're going to all be worth the same amount. When that squeeze comes down and we ain't none of us able to buy or sell, no matter how much we put back and save, we're all going to be worth the same. Don't be sitting around thinking, I wish I had that mess. No, you probably, even Brother Branham himself, he looked at Oral Roberts and all the millions of dollars that he was using to promote that ministry, and he said, I just guess God couldn't trust me with that. You know, you can't tell me that in the human side, even sometimes that would play into the prophet's mind. There's an old quote in the tapes there where he talks about, he said, I went into Cadle Tabernacle there in Indianapolis and had a meeting, five nights meeting. He said, I was there five nights. And he said, and you'll find it on tape. I'm not bringing up any anything to dissuade you, but think on this. He said, 5 nights I was there, and he said, I think the offering they gave me was like $1,000. And he said, Oral Roberts came in right behind me and began with all the fundraising. And he said, as he began his message and as he was beginning his fundraising, he said, from one half of the congregation on his first night, he raised $6,000 among those people through his fundraising.
Wow.
The prophet looked at that. You can't tell me as a human it didn't seem unfair.
Wow.
But yet what God entrusted him with was worth more than all the towers that could be built in Tulsa. He brought us the pure word of God without money and without price.
Amen.
But here was Job considered to be the greatest, and Satan bought into that lie. He said, look, Lord, here's the deal. Put forth your hand, you touch all that he has, he'll curse you to your face. So you know the calamity that befell Job. Everything was gone. The kids was gone. The house was gone. We can't even take time to rehearse all of the calamity that came his way. There was one quote here that the prophet said that I thought was very good. He says, now, he says the, well, this is, he's talking about all those possessions being gone. I tell you, ain't nobody hit rock bottom like Job did. Down to his wife. His wife gets one line in the narrative. One line. She could have done a little better than what she did. But you women think about that.
All right.
If your husband comes home and he's really tired and he's really worried and he just wants to grab some supper and get in the bed because he's got to go back and make some more money for you tomorrow, think about that one line you might have. Do a little better than Job's wife did. How many remember what she said? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's all she said. Why don't you just curse God and die? My goodness. You sisters, consider the first thing you're going to say to your husband. Us men, we might get it rough sometime, but I ain't never had it that rough. I ain't never got home and had my wife that demonstrative toward me. Why don't you curse God and die? That's her only line she had.
Wow.
I wish she'd have done a little better than that for her sake. But here's the challenge. All of these other things that befell Job, you'll find exactly the same challenge. Go over to chapter 2 now. You'll find it again. Again, there was a day Satan came and the Lord said, where you been? Satan answered the Lord, verse 2, going to and fro in the earth. Again, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan answered the Lord. Now, taking all his possessions didn't work. So in verse 4, he switches his... You remember what overcoming is? Remember what the prophet told us on Friday overcoming is? Knowing every attack of the enemy.
Yeah.
Being able to stand whatever test he brings you.
Yeah.
Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth your hand, touch his bone and his flesh. And here's the challenge. He will curse thee to thy face. It is the testimony of Job that Satan wanted to affect.
Wow.
Satan didn't care nothing about the cattle that got burned up and the sheep and the oxen and the children that were killed. He didn't care nothing about the bad mood that his wife was in that night when he got home. Brother Branham got very graphic about that. He said probably she couldn't stand the stench of Job. Said he smelled so bad from all those afflictions that had come on his way. She couldn't even stand to have him in the house because he smelled so bad. And so she came down to the opinion, why don't you curse God and die? But Satan, in the second challenge, he saw that possessions wasn't going to work. He saw that taking a man's job, taking a man's home, taking a man's children, taking his bank account, taking all those things would not fall. He still retained his testimony. And so he moved off then to his health. There's the two great challenges we have in this day. If we got any moaning and groaning going on, it's either because about our money or our body.
All right.
We ain't got nothing else to complain about. It's either our money or our body. I lost my job. I need a better job. I was picking on Uber drivers the other night, and here I find out y'all got an Uber driver in your midst. Who is that? Raise your hand. God bless you, my sister. We are We are pilgrims in the battle together. I didn't know that when I was thinking of the one in Atlanta that stabbed them people the other day. God bless you. It's a horrible job. I'm going to just tell you that. But we do it. We're trying to scratch out. We do it. The Lord is good to us. Maybe he's better off down here than we are. Trouble in Wichita, we got more drivers than we do riders. We seem to have a driver for every rider that shows up. But God bless you in that. I heard that you were a fellow pilgrim on this journey, and I thank you for that. But he switched. It's those two areas. It's going to be your money or your health. If the devil's going to try to discourage you, it's going to be your money or your health. But all of these things, all of these afflictions, all these troubles, all these tests, they were just the vessel. It was just the avenue that Satan was trying to use to get back to the ultimate goal. It's not Satan's ultimate goal to make you miserable. It's Satan's goal to alter your testimony. That was the challenge. This is what I can do. If you will give him to me, if you'll give me the possessions, he'll curse you. No, it didn't work. Okay, well then, I forgot to mention also, if you'll give me his health, what will a man give in exchange for his own? If you'll give me his health, then I'll work on that and I'll prove to you. See, the ultimate challenge by the enemy was not about how miserable Job was. All of those things were just peripherals. Those were just the avenues by which he came to attack him. But the goal, the ultimate goal, was to alter his testimony. Amen. And let me tell you what the ultimate goal of the enemy here in the end time is. Let me tell you what the goal of Believe the Sign is. Wow. Here's the ultimate goal, is to get a believer who says, I believe this word. I believe this message will change my body. I believe this message of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, that it will energize these mortal bodies one day, and a new creation will step forth from that in a new glorified body. Yes. He is working to alter that testimony from you. That's what Believe the Sign. You know what, Brother Jack and I was talking about all these challenges they put out, brother, and these Believe the Sign and all these naysayers and these negative people that are against the message, we both agreed, had they studied the messages fervently when they said they believed, as they do now that they say they don't believe, they might would have got somewhere. They don't have the sense of Gamaliel. Remember over there in the book of Acts when Gamaliel said, if you don't believe it, don't fight against it. Perchance, it is right. And then if God does vindicate it, that it is right, you have been found fighting against God. Even Gamaliel had sense enough to know, if you don't understand it, leave it alone. Just walk away. But they can't do that. They gotta leave and kicking and screaming. They gotta leave fighting. They have to continually play on your mind and your spirit and your heart. Well, let me show you where brother this and the bridge and the bear and the... Let me give you some scientific evidence that this never happened. My goodness. We're way too far down the road for that. Everybody... I was sitting in a meeting one time up in South Carolina, just sitting in a hotel minding my own business. When a man's got something he wants to prove to you, it just can't help but come out. I'm sitting there, and I'm going to be preaching for a little church there in Anderson, South Carolina, and there's a big meeting going on in town. I'm not a part of that one. There's another church there, and I'm just sitting in the Residence Inn, I think it was, sitting there looking at my notes. He sees I got message books, and I got my Bible. This fellow just walks over to my table. My wife was still resting upstairs. I'm down there having a little breakfast and looking at my notes. He just walks up to my table. He says one thing to me. What do you think about that bear? I don't know you, sir. I'm looking around. What bear are you talking about? You know? What do you think about that bear? That's all he had to say. He walked off. That's just, it's one track. It's against the word of God. Amen. What do you think about that bear?
All right.
And I'm like, a bear? I think I'm looking for a tree if you can see a bear somewhere from here. They worry about this stuff. They worry about the bridge. They worry about the bear. They worry about the mountain. They worry about the cloud.
Yeah.
The cloud. I don't know. You keep the cloud picture around here somewhere. I know you got the church ages, but they're worried about the picture of the cloud.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, we're way past that.
Amen.
That scripture we read in Revelation refers right back to it. The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. The great wrath of the enemy is exonified and pronounced in these men. They're angry. They're angry. Because somebody can still stand in this day and say, I believed a true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. They're never going to be happy with us because we still contend that this message, this word of Malachi 4, Revelation 10, was put here to change our bodies. To make us the bride of Jesus Christ that he has desired to have. In the church age book, the prophet says the heart purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. And we've been privileged to live in the day when that bride has been chosen and selected and drawn out of those masses and has been presented to him. I love that. But that's the whole challenge of the enemy. Yeah. It's not about how miserable he can make you. I know we all personify with the old man, the devil's beat me up and he's done this. He's after one thing. He is after the very same thing that he told God that I can do this. And we have to understand his challenge. If you will do this, he will curse you to your face.
Come on.
He will do that. And God says, okay, you know the story very well. We've studied those areas enough to understand. God says, okay, have at it. Here's my man. Just don't touch his life. You can't touch. That hedge is there. I was thinking, man, God is a good landscaper. Yeah, he put a hedge there.
Amen.
He keeps it trimmed up. He keeps it high enough that the devil can't get over
Hallelujah.
It. I got a hedge about him. I'll remove it. You can get to him in all areas except his life. Don't ever get worried that you're going to expire before your time.
Amen.
Don't ever get, fear is a horrible thing. Fear is, oh man, I think I'm dying. Well, I am convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that I am going to remain here.
Amen.
I believe when God planted me here way up there in West Tennessee that he knew when I got here how many breaths I was going to breathe before I stopped using these lungs. And until I've sucked up that last bit of oxygen that he put here on earth for me to have, I'm going to be here.
Amen.
There's nothing I can do. I'm not in. I know you're surprised by this revelation as well, but I'm not in really good health. Too many moon pies and RC colas along the way have ruined that. Me and my dear brother friend from Friday over here, we the same.
Come on.
In my life, little Debbie has become Big Deborah. Ain't nobody loves a little Debbie like me. My wife fusses at me. Them Swiss cake rolls. I tell you, them Swiss people did a good thing right there. I know you don't believe it, but I'm not in good health. I struggle with my diabetes. I struggle with this. But I have a testimony from my doctor that sees me every 3 months. She said, as bad as your numbers are, you ought to be having some stuff going wrong. That's a testimony in itself. I don't have good A1C numbers. I can't keep it down. I don't eat well. I'm a horrible patient. But she says, I have other people coming in my office with numbers like yours, and you ought to be having some of this stuff happening. Go get your eyes checked. I'm sure your eyes are going bad. All I have to do is reading glasses. I went and got it checked. It was
good.
I was like, wow, thank you. Well, you ought to be having some numbness in your feet. I said, man, I can feel my feet. What you doing? She's amazed. Why is that? Because I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
I'm not going anywhere until my time is up.
Yes.
If you hear that Brother Tom has expired, that means that by faith I'm going to walk until my journey is over.
Yes.
Satan
Hallelujah.
Cannot touch our lives. He can make misery, but he cannot touch our lives
Amen.
Until God is done with us. And so here was the challenge. Now, Job is a funny book. Let me give you a quick little bit of history that I found out about Job. Job, the book itself, is one of the most mysterious books in all the Bible. A lot of historians, a lot of theologians really doubt that Job actually ever even existed. They believe that Job was a parable that was put in the Bible. Much like they don't, Brother Branham even said it's the oldest book in the Bible, but the one thing we know about it from study and from history is that nobody knows when Job lived except the prophet, and I'm going to give you a quote for that in a minute, or who wrote the book of Job. When I was studying this series out, I found these commentators, a couple of notes from them. There's a great diversity of opinion exists as to the authorship of the book of Job. Talmudic traditions, which is Jewish traditions, believe that Job either lived in the time of Abraham or Jacob, or Moses, or Isaiah. Some of them thought he might have lived in the time of Esther. Nobody knew when Job lived. They didn't know who wrote the book of Job. And the most surprising opinion was they actually believed that Job never actually existed at all, and that the entire story was just like a poem or a piece of poetry. Think of that. I tell you something, Job lived. In fact, I don't know how those people would come to that opinion, because in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, there are a couple of prophecies that went forth to the house of Israel as Ezekiel was prophesying because of the sins in the land. And God speaks to those people and says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job lived in this generation, though these three men were living in this age, I could not turn my heart towards you. Think of that. These three men, God himself through prophecy lets them know that Job was a real man.
Amen.
He was a man. But yes. But all of this mystery that was surrounding there, I believe Brother Branham gave us one little nugget here that might help us understand. That might help us to understand what Satan's thinking was in the days of Job. Because that was his challenge. You give him to me, I will make him curse you to your face.
All right.
And this is, and the placement of Job's life by Brother Branham, I believe, helped clear up this area. In the message, "For Him Will I Accept," in Hammond, Indiana, 1952. You want to know when Job lived? I've got it on good authority here. Job lived along about the time of Nimrod.
Wow.
I don't need nothing else. I forgot about him living during Esther's time. Or Moses' time.
Wow.
Job lived along the time of Nimrod.
Wow.
It was written, the book of Job, before Genesis was even written. But he lived about the time of Nimrod. That is important as we look at our lesson this morning. He lived about the time of Nimrod. Now, Brother Branham is dealing with all the troubles, and because we have so many lessons and preached sermons on our troubles and our stresses and how to help you overcome them. But Brother Branham said a very beautiful little thing here. Many times that troubles strike our homes, it's blessings in disguisement. You remember? Y'all remember that one? Oh, man. Oh, that's hard, ain't it?
Hallelujah.
Man, I got some trouble. Well, brother, that's just blessings in disguisement.
All right. Glory.
Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
When you come home and the wife lets you know, man, the meal barrel's running dry. We ain't got no groceries in the fridge. I was telling Brother Jack, I went and covered a man's church for him one time. He said, when you get here, the fridge is going to be full of food. You see, I stayed in his home. He went on to his condo while he was recovering from a surgery. He said, man, the fridge is going to be stocked. You just come on in, eat my groceries. I got there, and all I found in his fridge was pickles, mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, Worcestershire sauce. And he said, just make yourself at home. I said, what can I do? Maybe he was trying to help me out. I don't know. But I had a fridge full of condiments. I said, well, thank you, brother. Thank you. Brother Jack has fed me well. He's fed me well this week while I'm here. Appreciate that. Blessings in disguisement. Don't you see? The challenge was not about, thank you, my brother. The challenge was not about the possessions, even the health.
All right.
The challenge was, I can steal his testimony. I can make him alter his testimony. I can make his truth, Job's true failure, and he was an overcomer. Now, I know if you go through the book of Job, which I did very carefully, if you go through there, you will find that it looks like times, maybe he's weakening down a little bit. Maybe it seems like he's, all of us as humans, we're going to have those moments of weakness. The prophet tried to describe a few moments of weakness to us, and the believers gone by. He looked at John the Baptist. Here was John the Baptist, the greatest that ever lived on the earth, and he introduces the Messiah, finds himself thrown in prison. Things turned a little dark for him, and all of a sudden he's sending his disciples to ask, is this he that should come, or do we look? You know how the prophet described that to us. His eagle eyes got filmed over.
Right.
It looks like the weaknesses of the human flesh was taking over John. Mary was another good example. Here she had testified that he is virgin born. I don't know a man. And they're on their way up to Jerusalem. He gets lost, and her testimony altered. But she never, it was just simply because of the pressures of the flesh.
Wow.
It was the pressures of the flesh that came on. Am I going to be able to tell you that all through my journey I've been nothing but a stalwart of profession? No, we all get weak at times.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't take away from our heart.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. There's a scripture in the book of 1 John that has carried me through many battles, that even if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. He's greater than my heart. If my confession seems to fail, the ultimate challenge of Satan was that I can alter his testimony of God. I can take his profession, and through these calamities and through these trials and through these testings, I can change that. I can make him. I will make him curse you to your face if you'll give him to me. And Job says, God says, you can't do it. Oh, you can't do it. The fact that we're living in the time of Nimrod points to a very, to help you understand possibly the mind of Satan on this. How many of you remember who Nimrod was? Built the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
That was Nimrod's big accomplishment. Nimrod, living about the time, and if you trace down all the quotes of Brother Branham, you will even find that Abraham, oh, if you want some hope this morning, for no matter what you've done in your past, that God can still use you and find a place for you. Do you know that 19 times in the message, Brother Branham looked back at Abraham, the father of our faith, and he talked about Abraham was over there building on the Tower of Babel.
Wow.
19 quotes that Brother Branham references that God called Abraham right out of the Tower of Babel. Abraham was a heathen. Abraham was just a heathen living the life. And at 75 years old, God called him. Yeah. Talk about living your whole life as a heathen. And then God finding grace to reach down and call you and pull you out of that heathen condition. And here was Abraham, the father of our faith. Brother Branham said he was down there with Terah, his father-in-law, building away on that tower.
Oh my God.
This building of the Tower of Babel, I took so much time with it. And again, we won't belabor the fact, but the magnitude of Nimrod's accomplishment. Of course, we know in the church age book, Brother Branham said Nimrod had three great accomplishments. Three great. According to Genesis 11 account and according to history, he set out to accomplish three things. He wanted to build a strong nation, which he did. He wanted to propagate his own religion, which he did. And he wanted to make a name for himself, which
wow.
he also accomplished. Let me tell you something. That Nimrod kingdom is still here today.
Yes.
It's sitting over there on Seven Hills. It's in that. Every organizational system has got Nimrod's name over the top of it. It's only those who have broke free from that Babylonian
right.
hole that was on this whole world that God is able to use. He wanted to accomplish those three things. Build that Tower of Babel, you know, we don't have any exact. Of course, Josephus gave us some good ideas of the size of this. Of course, the scripture tells us his idea was to build a tower so high that should another flood come, that they would be able to flee into it and humanity would be saved. Everybody's looking for a Savior, ain't they? Everybody's looking for a Messiah. And they all pitched in, and the nations came, and they put all their tribute into Nimrod's coffers to build. Josephus said in his writings about that tower, he said that it was 90 miles around the base of it. 90 miles. You know, Brother Bram said a good healthy man can walk 30 miles in a day. It took a man 3 days to walk around the base of that tower. One of the historians wrote a note in there, said that it had gotten so high that said when a man loaded up a load of bricks to go from the bottom of the top, it took him a year to get up there with his load before he could start back down to haul another one. You think we got a tough job, brothers. How would you like to be that fellow sitting there with that load of bricks ready to head up to the top of the tower? And they were going to accomplish. But the scripture says that what they set their heart to do, had God not intervened, they would have accomplished it. Now the only kind, and we know again, not having time to really go into it, but we know that the downfall of the Tower of Babel was what? What caused the downfall? Language. Language. Because the earth was all of one speech. It was one nation. It was of one speech. And Nimrod had gathered them all together under this one central project to build an escape hatch so that God could not destroy them. Doesn't that sound like the Roman Catholic Church to you? Here's an escape hatch. That even if your family has already gone on before, if you've got somebody in purgatory, we're going to give you the privilege of buying them out now down here after they done been gone. An escape hatch. That's what Nimrod was offering them, an escape hatch. A way to safety, a way to circumvent the judgments of God.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, he built this tower. He had all the nations coming into it. He had them all coming in. And God said, the way that I will unwind this, the way that I will bring it to its knees, is I'll change their language. And all of a sudden, they couldn't understand one another. All of a sudden, some of the writers was talking about the way it went down, is that a fellow would yell down to the workman below him, I need a batch of bricks, and he would bring him straw because he didn't understand what he said. I need slime, I need mortar, and he would give him water. And so the tower came to naught by the confusion of language. By the testimony of the people. They could not speak where another man could understand them. And so the tower was brought to its knees. Construction was halted by the altering of speech. Now I only bring out that point as clearly as I do for you to understand this. Satan is over here. And he is watching God through his power. God through his device. God through his unwinding of that satanic Tower of Babel. It was accomplished by changing the testimony of those people.
Wow.
And Brother Branham let us know that Satan is always, he's just an impersonator. He's got no power. He looked at this man Job that had a perfect testimony.
All right.
That had a perfect confession.
Yes.
And in Satan's heart, there was something rose up in him and said, if God can do that, I can do that too.
All right.
If God can change their speech and change their testimony and change their profession, then I want God to know that I can do it too.
Oh,
and God threw his shoulders back and said, go ahead and try.
Wow.
Because I've got a man down there.
Uh-huh.
He will not fall.
Right.
You can take his health. You can take his family. You can take his possessions. You can. Oh my. Them, it was bad.
Oh, my.
Everything Job had was gone. He sent the friends over. These so-called church friends. Brother Branham called them church friends, came over to see him. You know what one of them told him? They said, Job, if you really got what you deserved, God would have made it twice as hard on you as you had it. What kind of a friend would that be? When Job's at the bottom of the bottom. But Satan looked at what God had accomplished. He looked at that Tower of Babel over there and he said, if God can do that, I can do that too. He's an impersonator. And the challenge went out. If you give him to me, I'll make him change his testimony. And God said, go ahead. Have at him. because he is an overcomer. He will not fall. This kind of sounds like a little lady here at the end time. A little lady church, little bride. A little bride lady here in the end time that God is looking down. And he said, somebody, there's going to be an elect lady that you cannot steal her testimony. Eve fell, but this second Eve, she's not going to fall. I like something Brother Ram said. God, this is in Fellowship by Redemption. God had confidence in Job. God had confidence in Job. He had fellowshiped with him. And he knew that Job could trust him. So he said, all right, Satan, you go on. He's in your hands, but don't you take his life. You can do anything else to him. So Satan, good at his office, away he goes and he kills all of his children. I want you to notice Job, Brother Matt said Job had thought about that before and he had already applied the token to his children.
Right.
You know, the first example that we have in the scripture of the token is here in the book of Job, written before Genesis.
Wow.
And Job said, peradventure, my kids will go out and they'll go to a party. And sure enough, it's exactly like he had feared. But he said, I'm gonna make a way back for him.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, if you got kids lost, gone out in the world, don't look like there's any way back. We don't know how they're going to come. It don't matter. We don't have to figure out how they're going to come. That's God's business. Your business as a believer is to hold that word over them. The same word that has cleansed and purified your life and brought you to this word can turn them around and bring them back.
Amen.
Amen and amen. I believe that. Oh, Job said, I'll make them a path. He said, peradventure, if they sin, I'm going to offer an offering for each one, that if anything does happen, they'll have a bloodshed way to come home by. Oh, my, I'll offer it on. Here's for John. Brother Brown giving us a little foretaste of Job's offering. Lord, I'll make him a path here. Mary, she's down there tonight. Lord, if she does stray, I've raised her right. But if she does stray, I'll make her a path by this bloodshed, a way back. Brother Branham said, God, give us more mothers and fathers like that.
Amen.
Don't go out and fight with your children. Make a path back for them.
Right.
Let this word make a path home for them.
Right.
Ain't nothing tears up our hearts more than to see our kids not following, not
right.
continuing on in the way that they
That's
were
right.
raised. There's nothing that causes more grief and heartache, but the prophet's words was make a path
That's
back
right.
for them.
Amen.
Make a bloodshed path
That's
that someday
right.
when God chooses to turn them around, because they're yours. You can claim those kids.
Amen.
You can claim each one of them for the kingdom of God. We can't necessarily dictate to God how he does it, but we can claim them
yes.
for his kingdom. Hold that token over your children. Make sure that token is first applied to your house and then hold it over your children. And God will make a way back. Satan couldn't take her back. He couldn't change his testimony. Because God had confidence in him. God had supreme confidence. Brother Branham said he had fellowshiped with him. Oh, let your fellowship stay real. Let your fellowship with the Word stay real.
Amen.
Let your fellowship with your church stay real. Let it stay pure before him. Job goes through his life, goes through these battles, goes through these trials. And Brother Branham makes one little statement here that I want to leave with you for you to think about. This is in a message called I Know. Brother Branham says, the patriarch at this time, he was somewhat like we are today. He had been in deep troubles, as we call it, high waters. He was desperate. Many days he had sat on the ash heap. He was trying to find words to console him, trying to find something that would give him courage. Something that would be a comfort to him as he's seen his life fading out of him. In the first place, he was an old man. 90 years old. Job, 90 years old going through this. He had been stricken by the hand of God. Now, we know God hadn't touched him, but God had permitted Satan to touch him. God only has agents to do things, Brother Branham said. He has agents. He wants an evil done, he just turns Satan loose to do it. And if he wants good done, he has his servants.
Wow.
He turns them loose to do it. Oh, let that quote lodge in your hearts, brothers and sisters. Satan had touched Job for a purpose. What was that purpose? To get him to change his testimony. To try him, because he and God had a debate. And God told Satan, I've got a servant in the earth. There's none like him. Whatever I say to him, he'll do it. He's a perfect man, a just man. And Satan said, if you'll just let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. Look at Brother Branham's next words. Job, not knowing all these things were going on, it brought him into a deep distress. Not knowing about this debate that God and Satan have had. We are privileged today to know that if trials and tests become our way, we know that it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading his children back to the promised land. Let's have our musicians come if we can this morning. You know what I want to sing? We've been made more than conquerors. I believe, brothers and sisters, we have been made more than conquerors through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I've had my hour. I'm that guy that comes along, and I believe it's called the message of the hour. Most pastors don't like me when I address that. What do you believe, Brother Tom? I believe it's the message of the hour. That's all I'm going to say about it. If y'all can get the logos of that. Brother Jack, he's going to struggle with his watch and with the rhema of it. But you get the logos of that. It is the message of the hour. You got that one in your songbook? We all know it, don't we? We've been made. We've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. This is the truth right here. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing that to him again. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Have the verses to it? You got the verses to it? Do you have verses? No. Sing the chorus again. Overcomers in this life. We've been some of the verses, there's one of them goes something like this. When Satan comes knocking at your door, don't be afraid. It's not like before. Oh, don't you love him? We've been made more than conquerors. You know, there's an old song. Now, this is going way back. You got to be an old timer to know this one. It's called Job's Song. Job's Song. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. Any of y'all know that? I can feel the hand of Satan as the tempter pressed me sore. He has gone before the Father asking leave to trust me, to tempt me more. But though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. Do you know that one, sis? All right, we're going to learn it. It's called Job's Song. I can feel the hand of Satan as the tempter pressed me sore. He has gone before the Father asking leave to tempt me more. But though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, yes, for I know that he still liveth, and I feel him in my soul. And though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, and I feel him in my soul. Oh, don't you love him? Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, today, so much word that we could have, I just hope we planted enough thought that the people can take it home, lay it on their pillow at night, hold that confidence that though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. For I know that you still liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he liveth. I know he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Lord, we thank you for that today. We pray for this congregation. It takes us a long time to get back by between trips. Hold these brothers up. Hold these sisters up. Every trustee, every deacon, every officer of the church, every saint that doesn't have an office in the church, hold them up. Hold them up to the banners of glory and let them look over into that promised land where they won't be so discouraged they can't take that next step. Just hold them, Lord. Those who need courage, give them courage. Those who need the strength to press the battle, that was the encouragement that our prophet was given from beyond that curtain of time. Just keep pressing on. Press on, Lily. Press on through all the muck and the mire and the mud of the world. Just keep pressing on, because he is faithful who promised. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. Lord, our trust is in you. We ask you to hold up this congregation. Hold up our dear pastor friend, Brother Jack. Anoint him with the words of truth. Anoint him with the truth of those mysteries that were contained under those seven seals. Those thunder sounded forth, revealing that those mysteries that all those church ages had missed, and all those loose ends being tied up. Just continue tying them up here in the end, we pray. And bless this congregation. Our hearts are knit with them to be all to bring out of us, as the prophet said, what we were placed here to be. Bring it out of us, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I've already tried 9 different new songs. Do y'all sing "I Know My Redeemer Lives"? You know, surely you know that one. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer, he lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Sing it to him again. Oh, and I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, let all creation testify. Thank you, my brother. Let this life within me cry. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Sing it again. Say, I know, oh, my Redeemer lives. Yes, I do. Said, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, let all creation testify. Let this life. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Lives. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it again. Say, I know. Oh,
I know he lives. I know he lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, let all creation, let this light. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it again. Say, I know. Oh. Yeah, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh. Hey. Oh, I know. Oh, my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh. Let this light, I know my Redeemer lives. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Certainly appreciate our precious brother Ernest, amen, on this morning. A few weeks ago, I shared with you all how Brother Branham made a statement that the whole trial there that Job was going through, Satan was trying to get Job to think that it was God punishing him. And, you know, if Satan, when you're going through things, can get you to feel that, well, God put me through this, that's where you lose the battle right there. The only way you overcome is, amen, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, right? Your testimony has got to be like Job. My Redeemer lives. In the midst of everything I'm going through, I know my God is still in control, right? And just don't give the devil no victory at all. No matter what you're going through, right? Still praise God. Still worship in the midst of it, right? Amen. Have a determination, amen, that you're going to keep pressing on regardless of what you go through. Right, I believe Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature going to be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. I just, you know, thinking on the words that were shared here today with us, and many of us have different things that we're going through. And as, you know, Brother Tom said, the trial is really going to either be about your health or your wealth. It's one or the other, right? It's either going to be health or it's going to be wealth. And some going through in their bodies, but press on in the midst of what you're going through. And I want to encourage you to do something, amen, because the prophet told us to do it. Confess the word of God over your body. When you feel in pain, by a stripes I'm healed. Right? When the devil just hitting you with everything he got, by a stripes I'm healed. Feel like you can't get out of bed, by a stripes I'm healed. Right? Just keep confessing the word of God over your body and watch your body come in line with your confession. And when you're going through and it's tightening the finances, God said he gonna rebuke the devourer for my sake. Huh? God said he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings where I have room not enough to receive, because I'm a faithful tithe payer. So no matter what you're going through, confess the word of God and watch that thing turn around. Anybody believe that? Do you really believe it? I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, creation, testify. Let this life within me. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Come on, one more time. One more time with all your heart. I know my Redeemer lives. I know. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, I know my Redeemer. He lives. Oh, let all creation testify and let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has been brought to our hearts on this day. Help us, oh God, to realize, amen, as the scripture was read to us earlier, we overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb is an established fact. You were the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before the trials even started. You were the Lamb already slain. And God, that's an established fact. But the word of our testimony is something that we have to, Lord, we have to do ourselves. We have to make a decision that we are going to testify only what the word says. We're only going to testify what God says about us. We're not going to testify negative. We're only going to speak positive. Amen. That's the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Because you have overcome. You make us overcomers as well. And we thank you for that, oh God. Thank you for your servant coming this way, God, to just kind of deliver these thoughts, amen, from heaven to our hearts. We appreciate it, oh God. We ask your blessings upon him and his precious wife as they prepare to leave on tomorrow, God. Just give them traveling mercies, the other churches that they will stop in to visit, God. Bless the services, and may you continue to touch his body, anoint his spirit, and may he continue, Lord, just to feed the bride of Christ wherever he goes. God, we just give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise for all that you have done here today. You gave us something to sustain us through the week, oh God. So, Father, we know that we're more than conquerors because you love us. Now, as we leave this place, but not your presence, keep us, bring us back at the appointed time on Wednesday night, on Friday night. May you, Lord, just meet us here once again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The brothers will come to dismiss you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tom and Sister Sandy. God bless you. So good to have you. Amen. Joining us this weekend. We appreciate you coming. God bless you.